of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God, you have knit your people together in one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Grant us grace to follow your blessed saints in lives of faith and commitment, and to know the inexpressible joys you have prepared for those who love you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
A reading from Isaiah. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. And it will be said on that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 24 responsively. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who dwell therein.
For the Lord.
Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord, and who may stand in God's holy place?
Those who
shall receive blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of their salvation. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in.
Who is this King of glory? Truly, the Lord of hosts.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
A reading from Revelation. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them, they will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. And the one who was seated on the throne said, See, I am making all things new. Also he said, Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. Then he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, See how he loved him? But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." The Gospel of the Lord.
In today's readings, Isaiah wrote, "The Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces." And then in the New Testament reading, that same image, that same passage is repeated in the book of Revelation. And then in the Gospel, we heard that Martha and Mary were in tears over the death of their brother Lazarus. And finally, the tears of Jesus as he wept on his way to the tomb of his dear friend. That's a lot of tears for the Feast of All Saints. When we remember that great cloud of witnesses who have gone before us, when we see the names and the faces of people who have now gone from our lives, we have tears too. But there is hope mingled with those tears. There is a new day coming when tears won't be necessary. A new day, a new heaven, and a new earth, it says in the book of Revelation. And I don't think John is talking about some far away heaven, but rather about this world, about our world being made in God's vision, made new in the way that God had envisioned it at the creation, a world that is being revealed right now. All Saints Sunday reminds us, too, that we, made in God's image, who share in this meal that is a foretaste of the feast to come, that we too are being made new. We are the saints. We are the saints still struggling, maybe with tears in our eyes, still trying to see where God is in our daily lives, still hoping with faith for God's promises to be fulfilled in our lives. The gospel text from John's 11th chapter is such a powerful story for the still living, still struggling saints. I think that last sentence in the chapter that we read today is one of my most favorite lines in the Bible. I'm sure I would have chosen this for my confirmation verse. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Unbind him. These are powerful words. But notice, these words weren't spoken to Lazarus. Jesus was speaking to the whole crowd that was eager to see what was going to happen. Jesus invites that crowd to complete and to participate in the miracle that had just happened. These words were not just about Lazarus, but about the people who were gathered there that day. And indeed, these words are for us. The good news in this gospel story, this miracle, is not that it's not just a story about a single event that happened a long time ago. We know that Jesus' entire ministry was focused on bringing life to the world, to the whole world, and not just 2,000 years ago, but today. And we are called to participate in that miracle, in that ministry of bringing life and freedom to the world. If we look closer at this scene, we can see that Lazarus is not the only one who is wrapped up in linen cloths. Those grave cloths are hanging all over Martha and Mary and that crowd of mourners who were gathered there. And if we look at ourselves honestly, we can see that we are pretty wrapped up tight ourselves. We too are bound, not with actual linen cloths, burial wrappings, but we are bound all the same. We are bound by those things that keep us from living as we were meant to live, that keep us from being all that God dreams for us. We're bound by our fears, our fear of looking foolish. I did a 5K run yesterday, and they called it the color run. And as we did this walk around the stadium for 3+ miles, thousands of people, we were shot with paint. And I was so afraid of going to this run because of what I might look like on Sunday morning with rainbow-colored hair. I was trying to balance what made me look more foolish, standing in front of the congregation with rainbow hair or wearing the shower cap that I had taken along just in case. But it washed out. We fear looking foolish. We fear of losing things that we cherish. Our fears bind us. They paralyze us from trying new things or letting go of something that we should let go of. There's a word called for the fear of the new. It's called neophobia. A lot of people have that around food. But I think we also have it around church traditions and about family traditions. We are neophobic. We're afraid of doing new things or veering off from what we're used to, our routine. And so we are held bound. Maybe it's bitterness that clings to us in biblical proportions. Unable to let go of a hurt that we have suffered, we remain bound up by the pain that someone else has caused us a long time ago. We're unwilling and then unable to move on with our lives and with our healing. It could be that we're tied up by prejudice. We pull those linen wrappings tight around us as we judge others. We tie ourselves to our stereotypes and we judge people by their age or their ethnic heritage or by what church they really like to go to. We judge and we place value or lack of value on others because of the type of job that they do or don't have, by the sort of people that they socialize with, or by how they mark their ballot. It might be that we're bound by shame, so convinced that we are unworthy, unworthy of the love of others, unworthy of their forgiveness or their respect. We pull those burial wrappings around us, and we never take the risk to show ourselves, our true selves, to the people around us. We tell others that, and we tell ourselves that that's just our personality type, or that we're shy or private. But those burial cloths of shame never really allow us to live as our true selves, as the person that God sees and loves. Or it's our grief that enshrouds us. We can become so wrapped up in the past memories, the questions and thoughts of what if, or if only, and we can't even acknowledge what is. We spend so much time looking in the rear view mirror that we can't make any progress on the road ahead. Regardless of what binds us, fear or bitterness or prejudice or shame or grief or something else. Whatever it is that binds us, the truth is that it is Jesus who sets us free. Jesus is commanding those binding claws that we have wrapped around ourselves to be removed, in order that we might live as we were meant to live. But notice something very important here. Jesus didn't tell Lazarus to take off that binding cloth that was keeping him tied up. Jesus told the family and friends around Lazarus to do that for him. And this is really good news. We can't unbind ourselves. And that's not what we're called to do. We are called to set others free. We need each other to be set free. And you need me and I need you. We need each other to be set free. And that's what Jesus commands. On this day, on this All Saints Sunday, we're invited to see ourselves alive, unbound, set free. Today, we're called to join those saints in heaven and those saints on earth at the River of Life as we remember our baptism, and where we join them at this table, where this feast of the victory of our God, where you hear every Sunday where we say, with all the communion of saints, where we proclaim that in our creed and in the Eucharistic prayer, at this table where God is the host and the meal that is given for us. These beloved saints that we remember here, they're the saints, and you are the saints. God has come among us to wipe away every tear from our eyes, to unbind us from death's hold, to restore us to the land of the living, where we continue and participate in that drawing of the tears, in the unbinding and the restoring of one another. That's our job. Thanks be to God for the saints in heaven and for the saints on earth. Amen.